What we receive, we give back to him. The breath, there it is, yeah. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. So he's given us the breath so that we can give it back to him. And that's how it should be. And whether you're, again, a bird, something that doesn't speak but still has breath, God put the breath in that bird's lung to sing the songs in the morning as you're waking up to glorify God. And so another person who has some breath in their lungs, our very own Andrew. Yeah. He's got his some breath in his lungs, and he's going to share that for us.
Yeah. All right, guys. So how many of you guys have, like, a job or go to school? Most of us. So do y'all ever have one of those days where you just feel like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to get out of bed. That's too much. Or like other days where you just feel like God's not there. Well, like the truth is, like there's this one song called Thrive. I don't know if all of you have heard of it, but it speaks about how we're not just meant to survive life. We're meant to thrive in it. We're like meant to like work hard. We're meant to get to the top for God. And so this song is kind of about overcoming, like, stuff that happens in your life and instead doing great in life. All right, here we go. I'm doing this a cappella. Life can hand you lemons. What do you do with those lemons? I'm living in freedom. God made me his brethren. There's so much we can do. In this world, we got potential. The key to happy life. Thriving is essential. I am safe forever. And this gift is not a rental. Everyone is blessed with something. And I'm blessed with a pencil. If we make an attempt, we can make the most of life. I'm gonna live to the fullest till I die. Because life is short. Gotta add to this mind and don't waste your life, cause we were made to thrive. See the devil trying to tell us we can make it through. Sometimes I feel disheveled, wonder if I can make it through. But against Lucifer or rebel, I know I'll make it through. Get all powerful, no parallels, I'll make it through. For us, God has a plan and the seeds for us to plant. And as I grow older, I begin to understand. Seeds to make change, seed to make new life, seed of the Holy Spirit, cause we were made to thrive, man.
Wow. He had some breath in his lungs that he wanted to share, man. That's the awesome thing. It doesn't matter how you worship God. It's the matter of what's in your heart that you're worshiping. Whether you're rapping or singing or whatever. And if you had no voice, if you had no tongue, how are you going to glorify God? You'd be like the sun. You just rise with this glow, this majesty. It doesn't matter. Even if you're not a living creature, and you got no voice and no tongue, that's how you're going to glorify God. And that was awesome. Man, well, another hand for Andrew. That was awesome. So I'm going to pass the mic over to Danielle. Yeah, yeah.
So, guys, what did the rabbit say to the turtle? Why are you moving so slow? So I'm doing announcements today, and I don't see any announcements to do. Actually, I do. Is this an announcement, guys? Yeah? Oh, I got it. Okay, so guys, am I doing the offering first? All right. So guys, God, he wants us to give everything to him, not just a little bit of what we have. Like he wants us to give it all, knowing that he's going to fully return it back to us tenfold. And in this season, 2016 is a season of jubilee. It's a season of double portion. It's a double anointing on God's people. And all of you here are God's people. And whatever you give today, he will give back in a double portion, if not triple or quadruple. So do you want me to read the offering thing? No. All right. 2 Corinthians 9:11-12. I'm going to pray now. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for everybody here today. God, I thank you that their hearts are pure and they want to give you everything. And I ask that today, whatever they're going through financially, whatever they're going through in their day-to-day lives that are a struggle, I ask that you would relieve and lift their burden so that they could give double portion out of what you are already giving to them. And let them give with a heart of joy, not oppression, because you did not come to oppress your people, but to give freedom and life and liberty. So I just ask that the bonds of financial burdens would be broken right now in the name of Jesus and everybody here, and that we'd all give a double portion, knowing that you're going to quadruple whatever we give to you, Jesus. So I thank you for this day, and I thank you for where your people are at, and that you're drawing them out to trust you, Jesus. Amen. So, on the 12th night, there will be a celebration, Saturday, January 23rd at 5 p.m., and you there, do you have something to say? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Wait. Projection is the key to life.
Since it got rescheduled from the 9th to the 23rd, women of all ages are welcomed, and if you can sign up, or if you've signed up before, confirm with me after the service. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Lorraine. Appreciate that. All right, so the next... Bob is going to come up for this one because, you know, I don't have any part in this men's bowling night.
Thanks, Danielle. Okay, bowling night's coming up on January 30th. Everything is in place. We're going to be meeting right down the road here at Normandy at the Brunswick Lanes. And so I want to extend once again the challenge that I gave last week to young people. If you're 30 years of age or younger, okay, you can come out and bowl with us. And if you beat me, then I'll give you $10. That means you'll only bowl for half price. It's going to be $20 for 2 hours of bowling. And Randy will add 10 to it. All right, so there it is. Free bowling. So now we're gonna lay down the gauntlet here. So here's what happened last year, okay? Now you have to beat us in a total of both games, not just one. We bowled two games, okay, for over a two-hour period of time. So we had a single game high last year. We actually had two, but hold your breath on the second one. The first single game high was by Rob Pinkova, and he rolled a 138. And then the two-game total was actually shared by – I shared it with my pastor last year. Randy and I both shot 243 for a two-game total. However, now – one team who was playing actually was able to get a third game in, so it didn't count, okay? But we do count it because Mike Baker rolled a 158 that night, huh? Hey, Mike. Wonderful. So anyway, here's the deal. Now, the bowling alleys have all united now against us, so they make us pay ahead of time. So what we're doing is we're going to take $10. If you want to bowl, you got to give us a $10, either me, either today or next Sunday, and that assures that you'll have a lane to bowl on when you get there, all right? And you can pay the other 10 when you arrive, okay? Is that clear? Oh, it's 7:30, by the way. The clipboard will be outside, and you can hand the $10 to me, put your name on here. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you so much for giving me back the mic. Ha-ha. So, Communion Sunday is January 5th. No, just kidding. It's the fifth Sunday, January 31st. Right here, guys, so you don't even have to go home. You can stay here till the 31st, and then we can all have communion together. All right, is there anything else? All right, guys, Lexington Market is no joke. This is where you go to find people that need Jesus. Just kidding. Everybody needs Jesus, but you go there and people really are blessed by what you have to do or what you can do for them. And that's at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we all meet here at 10 a.m. and then we go together and carpool to bring the kingdom of heaven at Lexington Market for the people that don't know him. All right. Are we blessing our children today? Sure. Okay.
Thank you, Daniel. Just real quick. We just learned that the situation with Steve and Sue Crooks is a little more of a crisis situation than we realized. For those of you who don't know, Sue had her second knee replacement surgery this week, past week. She's home now, and the plan was for Steve to take care of her. Steve's in the hospital. Yeah, he has cellulitis in his leg, and it's not doing well. If they can't bring the infection under control, they're going to have to actually cut out part of his leg. So I'm going to go down there this afternoon to pray for him. If anybody would like to join me after church, let me know. But Sue and then eventually Steve are going to need meals. So if you would like to help with that, if you could contact my wife, Linda, who is not in the room at the moment, okay, or Linda or Melissa Christensen, one of those two, please contact them for meals to help them, okay? Thank you.
So, for the blessing of the children, do I just pray over them?
Yes.
All right.
What's the age? The youngest.
The youngest.
The middle school and high school stay here.
All right. So, this is only the youngest kids. So, if you're a young kid that is under the age or middle school or younger, lower than middle school. If you're younger than middle school, then stand up and we're going to bless you and you guys are going to go to your class.
Elementary.
Oh, snap. Julian right there. Can't believe you're in middle school. Through fifth grade. Well, if there's any of you, I'm just going to bless you. Lord Jesus, just anoint the back room where those beautiful kingdom bringers are going to be learning about who you are. And just open their minds to understand and perceive what you have for them, Jesus. And just really bless them in your name we pray. Amen. Also, if, in case you guys haven't noticed, there's been a lot of young people, you know, doing different things. Not saying you guys are not young. You are very young, but we're younger than you are. So this is Youth Sunday, and that's why we kind of have the reins of the microphone and worship and also the person that is going to be speaking today. Can we all welcome Matt Darden to the stage? I'm not giving this mic yet, Matt.
That's fine.
All right, so we're just going to pray for Matt because he's going to give us a very anointed sermon from the Lord. Yeah, so. All right, so God, I just thank you so much for Matt, Jesus. I thank you that you have given to him for a season, Lord, that is unlike any other season that has been before here in Maryland. And I thank you for the blessing that Matt has been in all of our lives and that you continue to sow what he has sown here and that the people around here would reap what he has sown, Jesus, in this family and New Heritage in Maryland. And I just ask that you would anoint his words, Jesus, and you would anoint his heart and his mind to speak directly from your throne room, Jesus, that he'd hear your voice so clearly that the words would just flow like milk and honey and he wouldn't even have to think hard about what he's going to say. He'd just open his mouth and allow you to fill him, Jesus, with the fullness of what you want to speak to all of us today. So just bless him, Jesus, and open his mind. Give him a double portion today of what you want to for him to receive and for us to receive. So thank you for his life, Jesus, and his time in Maryland, and just bless all of us with the words that you've given him to speak over us and to us. And let us receive it. God, I ask for open hearts on all of our parts and open minds to know and hear and understand what you want to speak to us, Jesus. So thank you so much for this time and thank you for Matt. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Maddie.
Good morning. Good morning. I got a mic and a podium. Good morning. I have not been able to meet everyone here, and so I just wanted to say I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony so that you guys can get to know me a little bit. I moved here at the end of June last year, and so I'm going to share about a little bit about my testimony and how I got here, and then I'm going to kind of go into my sermon. I just want to say I'm so thankful for this opportunity. I'm kind of saying why me all over my head this week, and I really should be saying thank you, God, and I'm nervous, but I believe God's with me and has put something on my heart, and I'm excited to share it. So I grew up in Michigan, and I come from a really good family. I mean, we go to church every Sunday. My family is everything, all my needs were provided. I had everything that I needed. But as I was growing up, I was going to church just because my parents wanted me to go to church, and I never really felt it really in myself, really didn't understand why. And so in high school, all my friends would go to church Sunday and they would party. And so I got involved into partying, drinking, smoking, and it wasn't really the highlight of my life. I was insecure with myself. I tended just to want to fit into my friend groups, and all my friends did that. I was one of the last people in my high school to kind of go into it, but I eventually did because I was at a point where I didn't really have many friends that did not. So throughout high school, I did that, and then about during my senior year, I kind of gave it all up. I wanted nothing to do with my school. I didn't really have that great of friendships there. Everyone there was not really. I never fit in. I'll put it that way. My high school is filled with families that their parents went to that school. Their parents then moved back to that school, and their children are not going to that school. And so it was just a generation of families of being friends with families. And my parents moved into that community, and we as a family never really fit in. And the church I was going to was a part of another school, and so I never really felt like I fit into that youth group. The youth group wasn't as welcoming as what I've experienced here, and I'm so grateful for it. And when I went to college, that's where my walk with Christ really started. I met a friend and started going to church with him. And this was in the fall of my first year, and I rededicated my life to the Lord February 23rd, 2014. And, at that point I was really lukewarm, but I knew deep in my heart, that's what was right. And I went to church with him, and, I met a friend. I have a Methodist and non-denominational background. All the supernatural I thought was witchcraft or something. I just didn't believe in it, and I know it was really just kind of my background. But as I was going to college, I met a friend, and she, thank God bless her, she her name's Nisha, and she is my charismatic friend that got me to really just fall in love with God and really to see God's heart and to know that the supernatural is real and that there's spiritual warfare and all this stuff. And it took about 8 months for me to understand it. But basically when I met Nisha, she was on fire for the Lord. I would just like kind of rededicate my life to the Lord, but she was like the on fire one for the Lord. Like she would walk into my at college, she'd walk in my dorm room and be like, the Holy Ghost party, don't stop. And she would just be doing it all the time. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, get me away from her. There's too much God there. And I was the kind of person that would try to not make time for her, even though like she was really nice. And she pursued me for, I want to say 4 months, maybe 5 months, with me not really trying to pursue her as a friend. She would come to my dorm room, bring me food, invite me to church. She did everything, and I don't think I was too nice to her. But eventually, she got me. Between her and another one of my friends, they gave me a book by Francis Chan called Crazy Love, and it talks about being lukewarm and how every time you choose to do something that's against God, you're basically saying no to God, and you're doing what you want to do. And it really convicted me. I cried, and it broke me. Shortly after that, throughout high school and throughout college at that point, I was struggling with masturbation and porn. And at that point, all porn broke off, and I really just started pushing through with Christ. And I started walking with God, and I got baptized like 2 months after, and it was amazing. At this point, I was still uncomfortable with the charismatic. This was like around the first time I went to my friend's church, and I was just kind of awkward, like kind of there, and I was like, okay, nice, thank you, and I left. But after about 6 months, and my friend really just, I never, like, when I was there, I knew it was different. People were so real into their walk with Christ and so real with the way they worshiped and like the relationships and everything that they were about was it wasn't a laid-back Christianity. It wasn't a go to church, sit, and then rest of the week Christianity. It was an everyday Christianity. It was like what they talked about was God, and that's like they talked about it every day, and they lived it, and it was nothing like I ever experienced before. And so I knew it was right, but my flesh was uncomfortable about it. And so God and the Holy Spirit worked on me, and it'll be a year ago this spring where I completely started going to that church. And then I graduated college, and I was in a season, and I got relocated here. And so that's how I ended up here. And it's kind of a funny story on how I got relocated here. And it's definitely changed my life. But my spiritual mom in Iowa, I went to college in Iowa, if I didn't say that, connected me to her father church in Ankeny, Iowa. And then they connected me to Doug, part of the Alliance. And then Doug connected me to Randy. So it was a chain of events, but somehow I got here. It was funny. The day I was moving in was a Saturday, and Randy texted me on that day. He didn't know when I was moving in. I texted him, or I called him probably about a month or two before I moved in, saying I was going to be moving down to this area, and I was just kind of trying to talk to him as far as finding a church and or finding a roommate. And unfortunately, I didn't get a roommate, and that's fine. God didn't have that in his will. It was God that he texted me on that Sunday right before I moved in, because then the next morning I came to church, and from there on, I met Pam. And and I'll be honest, that Sunday, I mean, I want to say 90% of the kids were not here. They were in Texas or they were away. So I kind of came to this church thinking there was no kids here. And I was like, well, thank you for inviting me, Randy, but I might not come back because I didn't think there was any kids here. And little did I know, there is a lot of kids here. And I'm so happy that Pam reached out to me and invited me. That Sunday that I came here, she not only invited me into people and into another person's house. She didn't know me. Nobody knew me. She invited me into another person's house, not even her own, two people's house, both Rick's and I forget your guys' last name, Likashima's. And I didn't know a single person. I got invited into their house. And this is coming from a whole nother state, not knowing a single person here. I mean, that's the love of Christ. And that's what this church is about. And I'm just like, I'm in awe of it. And I love you guys so much, and you guys have totally changed my life, and I'm so appreciative to be a part of it. And I'm so sad that I'm only going to be here for about another month and a half. So, I just got my apartment. I'm moving to Knoxville, Tennessee, at the beginning of March. So, it's my work's relocating me. It's good that way, but it's not long enough here. And I've built family here, and it's sad to go. So, but I just want to say, Satan hates what's going on here at this church. Satan hates it, and he wants to break this up. He wants to break the unity. He wants to break just what this church is about, and he wants us to give up. And this is kind of where I wanted to go with my talk and talk about how Satan wants to give up and give up on each other, give up on the church, give up on ourselves, our dreams, our future jobs, or however that is. And with just talking about each other, we have relationships that are hard. We have relationships where maybe people in our lives are just not getting it, or you time and time again you're trying to be there for them and always they're always just disappointing you, and it would be easier for you just to give up on that relationship, because I mean you really don't have to help that person. You really don't have to. But it's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to pick one another up. We're called to help other people with what they're going through. We as a body are only as strong as we are together. And if you look at it as a tree, and it talks about this in the Bible, we are a tree and one together. And when we have a broken branch, we together need to come together and mend that branch so that we can bear good fruit. And so God is, or the, Satan is trying to make us give up on that and give up on each other. And I just want to say, we got to be here as a group, be here together as one. Sometimes, and I'm going to go into the church and how Satan wants us to give up on the church. Sometimes, like, you can go to a church and you always have this mentality or this perspective that you're looking in a church. And if you don't see it, then you be like, oh, this is not the right church for me, and you go to the next church instead of trying, investing, and really trying to get to know people. And you have that mentality that there's a perfect church. Sorry to tell you, there's not a perfect church. And it's really, it's such a journey going through the meeting people, and it takes time. It takes so much time, and I just want to say, don't give up on the conflict. Sometimes there's conflict in church and with one another in it, and that's something that we need to come together and really, really just be together with one and to work out those conflicts, because Satan wants us divided. Satan wants us to split us apart and cause disruption within us. And then I also wanted to talk about how Satan wants us to give up on our personal dreams. And like for a lot of the young, this is kind of coming from, I guess, the younger crowd. But a lot of us are we struggle with where we're at, I guess, in aspects of where we are in life. We may not feel God all the time, and this can go to everyone, and we're really not sure how the circumstances we're in are really going to help us grow closer to God, or we don't really see how this this is going to bring us to what God has called us to do, and we give up, and we lose faith, and we can sometimes drift away from God during our circumstances, and that's exactly what Satan wants us to do, is give up on God during times of waiting, giving up on God in times of pushing through. And I just want to say, during these waiting times, it's so critical that we stay connected to God, because God is working in us and preparing us for our calling. And we cannot give up on ourselves. We cannot give up on our dreams. We may not understand what we're going through or why we're going through it or why we don't feel God all the time, but we need to stay in communion with Him and stay with people around us that are going to support us and lift us up and encourage us. And we cannot give up on God, because God is so good and His word is so true. And God has a plan for each and every one of us, and it might not be our timing, but He has perfect timing. As we all go through these trials, and as Satan tries to make us give up on each other, the church, and ourselves, we might entertain thoughts that don't come from God, and that we're not good enough, and taking the easy way out is the better way. And I just want to say, you cannot entertain these thoughts. The lies from the devil will mess with your mind. The lies with the devil will cause you to slow down the progress that God has already done in your life, and you cannot entertain the thoughts. And I just encourage every single person to get people in their life and surround people in their life that are going to encourage them, and they can talk to about maybe any issues or problems that they're going through, that we can, one another can support one another and lift, and like just be, we're supposed to live together. And that's what I'm trying to say is we need people in our life. We're not supposed to be alone. We're supposed to be with together. And I just pray that every single one of us feels that we have people to go to in our lives, to grow closer and to talk to God about. And I want to there's two points I kind of want to talk about, and it kind of ties together in a way of how Satan wants to destroy what we have here, and it has to deal with kind of forgetting what God has called us to do and forgetting what God's doing in the church. And I'm not the best at speaking. I apologize. I'm trying. Yeah. I appreciate that. As Satan tries to divide our church and tries to split us apart, and so many Christians who are once Christians see the conflicts that happen in the church, the disunity, the fights, the conflicts, all the that one church is different from the next church. This church is different from that church. And you go to one church and be like, this church was awesome, but this church was not. That is not how God wants the church to be. And we cannot be that kind of church. We, as a nation, we should go to one church and then go to another and be like, that was awesome, that was awesome, that was awesome. And so many Christians or once Christians would be like, how can there be so much differences between the church? And I just want to say as a whole, we got to be praying that for unity within the church, because I feel like that's one humongous reason why so many people don't turn to God, is because every church is different. It's like we're worshiping a different God, because we're not the same on all boundaries. And I believe that we should be as one. And to me, I don't believe in denomination. I believe in we're followers of Christ, and that's it. And that's what to me is. I just believe that we follow Jesus because He saved us from our sins, and that we need to be together on that. And going back to like the trials that we face, I'm all over the place, but bear with me. As we're going through trials, we often forget to be grateful for the suffering. In the Bible, it says we're supposed to be grateful for the suffering that we're going through, and that seems so foreign to us. We so want that perfect life, the life where we have a perfect family, where we have good jobs, we're able to go on a vacation every year. We're so often wanting this. But the thing is like through the trials, through the suffering, we turn to God, that we seek more communion, we seek help through our problems, we seek help through tribulations, and we really seek after God. And there's a few verses that I wanted to share that just really speak to me as far as when I went through trials. I recently was in a car accident, and it was just a rear ending, but it wasn't that big of a deal. But it was a pretty big deal as far as I work for a company that provides my vehicle, and it was my fault. And so I had to talk to my managers and everything, and I was really down on myself and really just kind of like in a point of like just hating myself, and I was struggling. But in that moment, I read, if you could put up James 1:2-4, I read this verse, and it spoke to me in such a way that we all are going to go through trials. We're all going to go through things that are going to make us kind of hurt on the inside. And James 1, it reads, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." And that great joy is to our flesh, that is the opposite what we want to feel. But with God, we can feel it. With God, we turn to God for that. We may not understand, but we turn to God. And for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And that is so important. There's one more, right? Yeah. And so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And to me, that's such an amazing verse. That's such an amazing thing that our whole entire life, we're never going to reach perfection. So face it, you're not going to be perfect. And there's, God is molding us into being, into through all our suffering and trials, God is molding us and helping us become closer to Him through Him. And I thought that was just something that really touched my heart. And there's another verse that talks about suffering and how we're supposed to be thankful for the suffering. That's Romans 5:3-5. "We rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love." Both of these verses just really speak to me as far as Satan is going to cause suffering in our life. And we are so blessed to have a God who reminds us all the time that to be thankful through the suffering, for it molds us into becoming more like him. And that's what we all want to become, more like Christ. And it's such a... I'm sorry, I'm just out of... I just want to remind everyone, we're all going through things. We're all going through trials, and we're not perfect. We have family, we have loved ones that are struggling, and the suffering often, I just pray that everyone can turn to God and find the joy and confidence that God's with them through the suffering. And I just want to say that I'm so grateful for the way God's worked in my life and continued to work, and I'm just so sad to go from this church. And I just want to say I love each and every one of you so much. And Pam might want to say something.
I just have to say, I want to pray for Matt. He has, of all the years that I've been doing youth ministry, he epitomizes the vision statement that I would have, because he's come alongside these kids and made them feel like they were family. He's been a spiritual father to all of these kids. And he takes them in to his heart, and he comes to our homes. And not one person can say they don't feel loved when Matt's in the room. One of my kids said that he was a bridge. And that is so needed in these days. And so I just want to say thank you to Matt for what he's done. You see, this group and the unity that we're building is because of people like Matt. And his name literally means gift of God. And so I just want to bless him as he goes, because whoever he goes to, they're the blessed ones. And I just want to bless who he is. And before we start a ministry, I'm going to ask the youth to come up and lay hands, because he's given so much. And then I'm going to involve everybody. And can you play some chords, Jordan, to that song? I'm going to ask different people to take the mic. If you guys can just put your hands out to Matt, that'd be great. Well, Daddy, I just thank you that Matt is a spiritual father, God, that you're calling in these days spiritual fathers. Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, that you said that they'll know we're Christians by the way we love one another, God, and we're seeing the lost come to our church and be saved because they see our unity. And I thank you that Matt is a fighter for that unity, God. And so, Lord, we bless him. We pour into him, God. He's poured out to us, God. Let your spirit just pour into him right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Josh, can you pray something?
Dear Lord, I just pray for Matt's well-being over the next month and a half, and that you would just give him the confidence that no matter where he goes, he's always going to have the same role in the church. He's always going to be that person that everyone loves, that everyone feels loved by. And he is a bridge. He's bridging the gap between the older side of the church and the younger side of the church, and between other people that have problems. He's always there to kind of fix it and be like, hey, God loves both of you. God is going to do this in your life, and this is how it's going to be fixed. And we're going to love you and miss you more than you'll ever know.
Yeah, Matt, I just kind of see you as a roaring lion with this mane, and your mane is on fire. And just as the lion prowls around the jungle or prowls around the forest, He's just like the king of the jungle. And I see it's like you're prowling around where you go. Your like fiery mane is like catching other. It's like starting forest fires. It's like catching things on fire. So like that same feeling of Pam saying you're a blessing. Like your mane, your lion manes of fire is setting ablaze forests and lives. And other people are just so inspired by you. And I mean, you inspire me to get close to my youth church because I've been a member here all my life, and I don't think I've really made as much as an effort as you have. And that's not to compare. That's just to say you've been an inspiration to me and inspiration to so many other people here. So I just want to declare over you that Tennessee is a lucky state because it's got Matt Darden in it. And I just want to just declare over you, man, that there's such high purposes for where you're going. Now, you may not see over the mountaintop right now. You may be in the valley, but you say up on the mountain and down in the valley, you have my heart, God. You have my heart despite of what season of life that I'm in. And I know this is a season of transition, but I see God's favor upon you. As we were singing, I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. And one of the singers at Bethel, she says at the end of that, she says, full of favor. I am a child of God, full of favor. That the favor of God is just so upon you. He has blessed you with this job. It's a very awesome job that's been able to make you independent, that's been able to make you travel these different places. And I feel like God is sending you like just a missionary to different places. And, you know, it doesn't have to look like this third world country that you're going to, but where God has sent you to different places recently to California, like God has such mighty plans for you. So Jesus, I just declare over this lion, Lord God, that his mane would just catch other fires, other youth groups, other homes, on churches, Lord God, that the atmospheres would be shifted, Lord God, that you would just bring such a double portion, Lord God, just as Danielle was singing a quadruple portion of the tithing. I'm just declaring that over him, that he was no longer a person of double standard, but a man of now double portion, Lord God. He's going to be a Joshua that's going to inherit the land, Lord God, that the Tennessee is no longer to be bound by certain principalities, Lord God, because we have a man of God. We have a fiery maned lion coming into the land to just really take back what the enemy is trying to steal in there. So I just bless the housing in there, Lord God. I bless him with roommates, with community, Lord God, with people just going to surround and just encourage him in his walk, Lord God, that he would have a Jonathan that's going to be his shield bearer, Lord God, that he'd have a Moses that's going to disciple and mentor him, Lord God, in every single part, Lord God, that Tennessee is going to feel just as much like a new heritage community, Lord God, as it is here, and more, Lord God.
I feel like the God's going to do something. I feel like God's going to watch you right now. Jesus. God knows your heart. God, it feels like warring. I feel like the Lord's gonna do something. Jesus, please heal. Let me, Pam, pray for this young gentleman right here. Jesus, I don't know his name, but Bat. I don't know if he's older or not, but he's off the hook.
Well, nobody else is off the hook. But so, Lord, I just thank you, God. So what I'm going to do now, we're all in the circle. This is what we do actually at the end of, in the back, we just worship. And so I'm going to ask the adults to come behind us, and we're going to have one big, like, prayer huddle where we're going to pray for each other. So just come on up and
We're just going to have him sing everything, but just anybody come on up and just lay hands one to another. And then you can, and then we'll have us turn into groups of three and four. So come on up, Chris Weymouth and all of the adults. Come on up. I can see Chris. So everybody just join in this huddle. Come, Holy Spirit, Lord, we just pray, God, Jesus.
I have an encouragement for the youth because I feel like they have an anointing to keep him covered. That as he goes, he's not just going away. He's going out from this group. That much has been accomplished during this time, but much remains to be done. And we say in Jesus' name, keep his feet covered, keep his back covered, keep him encouraged in the spirit by your overcoming prayers on his behalf. Bless him, encourage him, and strengthen him in Yeshua's name.
Matt, I feel like you needed to be here to get something, but you also gave. And if you're on a hook, you're stationary. So when you're off the hook, you're going forward. You're moving. And you're always will be welcome here. Always. Don't ever think that you're leaving, because you're not leaving. Your deposit is here and will stay here. The people you minister to, your friends here, you love them, they love you. You're not leaving, you're here. And he's taken you to a different level. You've gone from one plateau to another plateau to another plateau. And he's taking you higher. So you're off the hook and you're moving upwards. So Lord, we just bless Matt right now. We bless him for what he's given and what he has received. And that he will be so full of joy that wherever he goes, he will be blessed. And Matt, look over your right shoulder. Look over your right shoulder. Do you see anything? Look over your left shoulder. Do you see anything? Because goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. They're behind you. They're with you. And the Holy Spirit is full of you. He is in you. Lord, we just bless Matt right now in the name of Jesus.
Bless him, Lord.
So I also want to just bless this warring heart, that Matt's one that wars for unity, God. And so, Lord, together, let's just cry out together, just praying for that unity, guys. I just want to hear voices. Lord Jesus, we just cry out for unity, God. Lord, this is our call, God. This is now. Now is the generation, God, that will take back the land. Now is the generation that will be filled with the Father's love so that the lost will come running. Holy Spirit.
Matt, you actually came when I first came to this church, so we kind of came together in not knowing anybody, and I know exactly how you feel in the sense of having unity with this family, and I hate that you're leaving, but like he said, you're not leaving, you're staying here, your heart's here, and you're just moving to another place. We're always here, we're always going to keep in contact. You're going to be able to come snowboarding with us next year and, you know, bring the heat. Yeah, every weekend. Bring the heat from Texas over here if you can, you know. Tennessee, just kidding, Tennessee. But we love you, Matt, and you're going to have a great time. You're going to have good things coming for you. And God's going to give you something in life, and you're going to feel it soon.
God, I just want to thank you for the opportunity for meeting Matt. Angel, you sent from heaven. It's like a second brother that I can just open up to and open my heart to. I just thank you every day for him.
Matt, just like wherever we go and whatever we do, God is with us. The same applies to you, Matt, that wherever you go, you leave a piece of you with us here. That the things that you helped us build up, help build up a community, you really pushed us, Matt, to start this men's accountability group and the Bible study for the women also, because we talked about it for a while. And I mean, we talked about it for a while. But Matt, until you came here, you're like, why aren't we meeting? And I'm like, oh, yeah, we talked about doing that. Well, when are we doing it? Matt, you seriously pushed us, and in a good way. You pushed us. You held us accountable to start this accountability group. And you're leaving that here. You're not taking everything with you. There's a Darden spot here. Just like the Darden restaurants. I remember the first day I met you, I was like, Matt, what? Darden. Oh, like the restaurant chain. You're going to have a chain of Dardens all over the country. There's a Darden spot in Michigan, in Iowa, Maryland, and now in Tennessee. There's Darden locations popping up to a location near you. And the only thing on the menu is community, worship, accountability. There's no denominations on the menu. The currency is just Jesus. Because that's what Darden brings. You bring community. And I sincerely mean every word of that, Matt.
Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know, it takes courage. It takes courage. You could have turned the job down. You could have said, no, Lord, I need to stay here. I can't leave these people. But you've got some such faith and strength and courage and wisdom right now that you've grown in with your, because of your relationship, not only with the people here, but with the Lord Savior himself. So he's growing you up, you know, it's huge. He's moving you forward. And you're taking everything that you got here and you're taking it to a group of people that needs it in Tennessee. And that's just the beginning, Matt. You know, that's just the beginning.
Matt, the word that's been going through my mind for the last 5 or 10 minutes is that you are definitely not just leaving. You are being sent. You are a missionary. You are our missionary. And because you are, you're still part of us. And that's not going to get severed because that's God's relationship.
Matt, I'm originally from Michigan, too. It's a great place to be from because it gives you this groundedness that you take with you wherever you go, whether you realize it or not. And my sense is that the Lord is going to get you so connected in Knoxville so quickly that your head's going to spin. So you're going to be even more connected there than you are here. And may the Lord increase your anointing and your gifting. You're already so gifted, but he's going to use you even more to reach young people and people of all ages. That message of unity that you bring is so essential, especially in these times. And it's just going to really explode. So thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're going to do.
It's actually, it just started snowing outside, and literally just now. And I know snow has and rain has a lot of different meanings, but as the snow just starts to settle on the ground outside, I know God is going to start settling you, just settling your spirit in peace and purity. As God is snowing outside, it's raining outside, God's just going to continue to rain and shower upon you. I just think that's really beautiful that the physical is manifesting from the spiritual.
Matt, I just want to say, like, one thing that's so incredible about you is just the moment I started talking to you, there was a connection. And when Miss Pam said one of her kids said you're a bridge, I think that's the reason, because no matter who you're talking to, no matter how like different you may be, you find ways to be in common with the person. You find ways to make the person seem so welcome and seem so comfortable. And that's just an incredible gift that it's just one of the weapons in your arsenal that God's given you.
No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And I can only imagine the things that God has prepared for you in Tennessee, Matt. Things that your ears have never heard and your eyes have never seen. Things that have never entered into your heart before, God's going to reveal to you there. More of who He is, more of who you are in Him. Many people don't know who they are and they don't know the way God sees them. But He is going to show you how He sees you, and you're going to hear His voice like never before. You're going to feel His presence like never before, because His heart is for you and He's in love with you, Matt. Jesus is in love with you and He calls you His bride. He's coming back for you, Matt, just like He's coming back for all of us, and you're going to get His people ready for His coming.
Matt, you've been like a brother to so many of us. You've been like part of our family, and you've been made such a difference in even my family as a whole, in the Delaney family and many other families. You've made such a difference, and you've been here to always hang out with us, come to our house. You've always been here to even make us food. You've just been such a great person to us as a whole, and you're an amazing guy, and I know that you're going to find another great group.
Matt, God definitely has a plan for you. It's there. And He knows that there are hearts in Tennessee that have been like yours, that have broken just like yours, and He wants them reached by you. You have a voice for this generation that He wants heard. And I wouldn't be surprised if He didn't want you somewhere in the walk of your life, somewhere in your life, to actually start a church. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray and bless him and thank you for him in Jesus' name. And I know he wants you to learn more of who he is.
Father, I just want to thank you so much that this young man already knows that he has to have the armor, the whole armor on, that he's making everyone aware that you can't trust every voice you hear. You have to listen to God's voice. Make him a strong warrior, Lord. Make him totally unafraid to herald the news that Jesus is Lord over all things. Bless him, Father. Bless that warrior's heart within him. Amen.
Matt, I just want to tell you that we all love you so much, and you have found a place in all of our hearts and in our community. And we're going to miss you so much when you leave, but I just want to speak over you that God is crazy about you, and he has a plan for you that you're not even ready for, because it's going to be so good. And he's going to bless you in more than you know. And I'm just really thankful that you got to be here with all of us for so long. And
Matt, I just keep hearing in my head actually a line from a movie that where you live is just a building, but home is a feeling, and you just really brought that here. And from the first day I started talking to you, you're so comforting and warm, and that presence, you can see it when you walk in the door. And when you go to Tennessee, people are going to see that you're a light and you're salt to the world. So I just proclaim over you that you're going to walk in these amazing plans that God has for you, and that you're going to keep growing, and that the moment you go to Tennessee, that it won't just happen, but it will happen. God, that so many new people, you'll meet them and just be unified.
Matt, I've only met you one time, but I know this for an absolute fact, that God is going to use you to change a multitude of lives. I know that. I can see it. And I just want to tell you how inspired I am by all of this.
Matt, there's one thing you need to know, that it's not just the youth that you touch, but also the adults. It's multi-generational. You're the bridge. So the Darden Bridge is what we're looking at.
Rick.
Matt, me and Bruce were talking just before everyone came up, and we just have the words to speak over you that we just love you. We love you. We appreciate you. We know your heart. Says God knows your heart. We just ask for blessings and mercy and spiritual guidance for your life in Jesus' name.
Matt, I just want you to know, as Rick said, we love you. We love you. You're an amazing man. I love your humility. I love how free you are to accept people. I love how honest you are. You're like an incredible example of integrity and honesty, and that you call me on in my walk with the Lord. So I've just been blessed, and I know that the blessing doesn't end. As many people have said, you're going to another place to live, but you're in our hearts here, and that ain't changing. There's nothing that can change that. Be of good cheer and of hope, because God has an amazing plan in Tennessee for you, and you're going to be blessed by God with wonderful people around you. You carry us with you, and we're with you in all that you're doing. You go with a huge blessing, man, because we love you beyond words.
So, Fred has some.
Matt, I just want to say that I am personally so thankful for you, too, and just so much appreciated that time we had together for dinner, and where I got to know you better and got to see more clearly just what everybody else here is saying, that you really are an amazing person, an amazing man, and I'm just grateful for you and believe that God has so much in store for you. And I just want to just close by saying a verse over you that's one of my favorite verses, and I felt like the Holy Spirit just wants to speak it to you, and it's this, Psalm 27:14. This I believe, Matt, that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Put your hope in God. Be strong. Let your heart be bold. Put your hope in God. God bless you, brother.
As we sing this last refrain, you're all I want, you're all I need, you're everything, just put your hand on the person next to you. And as we're singing it, we're praying, God, fill up that person. This person that you're putting a hand on, we're saying, God, no matter how different they are, we're fighting the warring that Nick so prophesied is a warring for unity. And Matt and I are together, we're warring for that. And this group is warring for a unity like no other, so that when people look at us, they'll say, that's Jesus. Not the religious garbage where we're just as divided as the world. But we're going to be a unified, all generations with no gap. We're going to be unified in the way we love. We're going to love people that are different. And people are going to come in and things are going to fall off because they're going to experience God. And so, Lord, we just pray right now over this church, over New Heritage, that there will be a heritage that's filled with the Father's love, that this will be a new heritage, God, fresh wineskins, God, where the Holy Spirit would love to dwell because we're unified. And, God, we believe you for that. Just, guys, just cry out for that. God, make us one. Cry out, Lord, make us one, God. Make us one. Yesterday I was weeping in my prayer time. John 17, make us one, God. Lord, this is our heart cry. God. Holy God. Make us one, God. Let not one person come into our midst and not feel welcome. Just gonna sing, you're all I want, whatever you want to sing it out, just shout it out. Go ahead, Jordan.
You're all I want, you're all I need, you're everything, everything, you're all I want, you're all I need, shout it out. You're all I want. You're all I need. You're everything. Everything. You're all I want. You're all I need. You're everything. Everything. You're all I want. You're all I need. You're everything. You're everything.
How can I?
To the rooftops. God is all we need. God, fill us, God. Break division. Break the judgments.